The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In Jesus' famous teaching about the vine and the branches, is he showing that salvation can be lost? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're in a series in which we are responding to Wayne Grudem's critique of free grace. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead off in that discussion in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to remind you about our national conference. We do this once a year. It's one of my favorite things that we do all year. We would love to see you there. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. You can even register right there on the site. Let's go right to our discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Bob, you just ran a marathon recently.
Half.
You're a half marathon.
And I race walked.
You walked half a marathon.
I walked. It's getting
worse. Was this an actual competition? Were there other people involved?
I was the only one. No, there were about 1,000, 1,500 people. I don't know. I think there were, in the actual half marathon, I think there were about 800. And I think I was like 750 or something. I barely beat anybody.
I don't know, but if you took all the guys, how old are you again?
Like 69.
If you took the other 69-year-olds who didn't run the marathon, you would have just smoked them.
I know. We should have taken all the people out of the hospitals.
They should put normal people, just to make you feel better. It's like, all right, I'm crushing you.
I didn't tell you the people I beat all were in walking boots or some of them.
One guy who died.
One guy.
But you didn't beat him.
I didn't beat him. He finished just ahead of me.
He's almost standing
up. Now, does this have anything to do with our show?
It has nothing to do with this. Well, a little bit. We can always tie it into sanctification.
Okay.
You know, the Christian life takes effort. You know, it's a marathon.
Everlasting life is a free gift. Everlasting rewards are earned.
Right. And actually, that's one of the keys of free grace theology that I don't think Wayne Grudem understands. Wayne Grudem wrote a book called Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel, and we've been reviewing his book. And in chapter 5, Unlikely Interpretations, he goes over some verses that he thinks free grace people bend over backwards to defend, quoting Grudem, to defend their mistaken understanding of the word alone in the phrase faith alone. So we believe that salvation is by faith apart from works, period. No gimmicks. There's a lot of people who say they believe in faith alone, but they have so many gimmicks and fine print and ways of including works there anyways. I think that's what Grudem does throughout this book. He says he believes in salvation by faith apart from works. He says he denies works salvation, yet somehow he just manages to find ways of making salvation depend upon works over and over and over again. And so these unlikely interpretations all have to do with that issue. So in the last episode, we were talking about his second and third examples of unlikely interpretations. It's John 15, verses 1 to 2 and verse 6. And Jesus is using an illustration of a vine and the Father being the vine dresser. And Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, some people think what this verse means is if a believer does not bear fruit in the sense of works, they're going to be taken away in the sense of they're going to either lose their salvation or prove that they never had salvation at all.
That's Grudem's view.
And I think that's Grudem's view. And the free grace interpretation kind of comes from this article by Gary Derrickson, but Grudem quotes Charlie Bing and Jody Dillow. And the basic idea is what?
The idea is that God will lift up any branch that's not bearing fruit so that it might start bearing fruit. Then if it's still not bearing fruit, it'll be cut off, thrown into the pile, and then burned.
So the verse is not take away, although it could have been translated that way. It can also be translated lifts up, and that's really what it should be in this context.
I think so, but even if it means takes away, you still have to ask the question, in what sense? And Grudem is going to go to verse 6 to see the sense. And so I don't really think the free grace interpretation hinges on understanding Iro as lifts up in verse 2. It could simply be takes away, but if it is, it takes away in temporal judgment, not right. Eternal judgment.
Right. So the third passage is John 15:6, and here's what Grudem says. Here Jesus says, quote, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." This passage continues Jesus' same teaching about vine and branches, and it is a problem for the free grace position because it teaches that people who forsake any relationship with Christ will be thrown into the fire and burned, which seems to be a picture of final judgment.
Now, by the way, did you notice "seems to be"? Why doesn't he say, which obviously is a picture of final judgment? I mean,
yeah, why hedge his bets?
Doesn't fire always in the Bible refer to hell?
Right. Well, if that's Grudem's position, yeah, you're right. Why wouldn't he just say, this absolutely is final judgment? What else could burning be?
Well, I think Grudem may be aware of the fact that the vast majority of times we see fire in the Bible, it's not talking about hell, Hades, or the lake of fire at all. Most of the time we see fire in the Bible, guess what it refers to?
What?
Fire!
Fire.
Of course, most of them would be literal fire. Here, I think it's referring figuratively to the fact that the believer is going to experience a fiery judgment. But notice, let's read verse 6 again. He starts out in verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches." Who is he talking to here? "I am the vine, you are the branches."
He's talking to his disciples.
Right. And is Judas present at this point?
I don't think so. He's left,
no,
hasn't he?
No, Judas is left. So we've got 11. And how many of those 11 are born again?
Presumably all of them.
All of them, right? Well, we know it's all of them because Jesus said in John 13, I think in verse 10, doesn't it say you are clean, but not all of you? And the same thing is true in verse 3 of John 15. "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Well, are unbelievers clean before God? No.
No.
So, in verse 5, when he says, "you are the branches," okay, he's talking to clean people, born-again people. Mm-hmm. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, and without me you can do nothing." His point is he's calling them to abide in him and bear much fruit.
And abiding is not the same as believing.
No.
Abiding is a whole other teaching that Jesus has.
No, that's exactly right. This teaching is brought out in 1 John, which has the whole theme of abiding in Christ.
Right.
In fact, in 1 John 2:28, which is a theme verse, John says, "My little children, abide in him," same Greek word, "so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming." That's not where I'm spending eternal life truth. That's at the judgment seat of Christ, will I have boldness and confidence or will I have shame?
For John, believing has to do with justification, if I'm putting in Pauline terms, and abiding has to do with sanctification.
Absolutely. So now, after he says in verse 5, "if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit," then in verse 6, talking to the same people, he says, "if anyone does not abide in me, he will be cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Then he says in verse 7, "if you abide in me." Why would he say, "if you abide in me"? Isn't it automatic that all believers abide?
I was just reading a person who said that it necessarily follows. Good works always necessarily follow your life if you're saved. Obviously, that's not Jesus' view.
No.
Otherwise, he wouldn't have to make this warning at all.
Right. And so the point is, Hodges argues, and I think he's absolutely right, and of course Grudem's going to criticize him, that it doesn't say that he's annihilated, or Hodges says that this isn't katakaio, which would mean to burn up, but burned, which would suggest temporal judgment, which could lead to even death. And by temporal, I mean in time, not eternal death, but death now, or something that leads up to that. And so I think the whole point of John 15:6 is that God disciplines his children. Jody Dillo had an article in Bibliotheca Sacra in which he talked about abiding as a fellowship term in John 15:6.
So what do you make of Grudem mentions what Hodges said, St. Hodges? He says, "Hodges says this passage is not about salvation, but about discipleship and discipline. The branches that are burned are true Christians who are saved, but they'll be cast into the fire of trial and divine chastisement. And this is, quote, an experience of spiritual education, end quote, not a picture of divine judgment." In the footnote 9, He says that Bing says it's a burning of the branches for heavenly reward. Dillo says it represents divine discipline, but not final judgment. But then Grudem comes back and he says, well, when you look at other examples of vegetation or plant material being totally destroyed or consumed by fire, it seems to be end of the world type stuff like it is in Matthew 13:40. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. Do you have any thoughts about that? Like, I mean, does he have a point that sometimes the burning does represent end time judgment?
Well, sometimes burning does represent end time judgment. In the account of the rich man and Lazarus, he says, I'm in torment here in these flames.
Right.
So it doesn't use the word fire, but flames is a synonym for fire.
Yeah.
In terms of eternal condemnation, sure, there's no doubt that you have a number of passages. Some of the Gehenna passages refer to the unquenchable fire, which not everybody agrees refers to the lake of fire, but I think it does. And by the way, it's called the lake of fire.
Fire, right. But so why then, I'm just trying to argue from his position, why then, if there is this fiery final judgment coming, why can't that be what Jesus is talking about in John 15?
The reason it can't is because he's talking to believers about abiding. He's not talking to unbelievers about being born again. If he was talking to unbelievers about being born again, then theoretically it could. Although what's interesting is you never have in the Gospel of John the Lord Jesus say, he who does not believe in me will be tormented forever in the lake of fire.
Right.
Or he does not believe in me will be tormented forever. You just don't see that.
Right.
What
right.
you see is they won't perish, and perishing is described as condemnation.
Yeah.
But they have everlasting life.
Okay.
And so the context makes it very clear that he's talking to believers about believers, and
right.
that the abiding issue is, as you said, a sanctification issue.
Right. Well, Bob, thank you very much for those thoughts, and we're going to continue to wrestle through these quote-unquote unlikely interpretations as we continue this series going through Wayne Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel. In the meantime, check out our website, faithalone.org, and you can find out for yourself all the ways that free grace theology actually elevates and promotes a real faith alone apart from works gospel.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about, do you have to repent in order to receive the gift of eternal salvation? So join us for that.
I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.